With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere, and we're going to be talking Week 11 starter sit today. Please join me in thanking one of the sponsors of the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast, Grammarly. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. Start writing confidently by going to grammarly.com/fantasypros to get 20% off a Grammarly premium account today. We've got a great guest. It's Joe Pisapia. You've heard him on here before. We always have lots of fun. He's the author of the number one selling Fantasy Black Book series and host of the Fantasy Black Book podcast. He's on Twitter at JoePisapia17. I'm at Bobby Fantasy Pro and tags us at Mike Tagliere NFL. Joe, how's it going, man?
It's going great, baby. We're here. It's week 11. It's always fun to talk to my boys, and I appreciate you guys having me on again.
It is always our pleasure. Tags, how you doing, man?
I'm doing better now that I know that I'm speaking to Booger McFarland. I did not know he was coming on the podcast today. So for those who are listening at home, we have a recording room and you can put a name in there if you want. So we put our names in there, but Joe always puts something fun, and today he's Booger McFarland.
Gotta be something. I love when everyone calls you Tags too. Like, I just say that, like, you seem like a lovable Winnie the Pooh character. Like, oh, Pooh and Tags.
I kind of am. You can hug me.
You are. You're very huggable. Like, well, poor Tags. Tags couldn't find his favorite blanket. And Winnie the Pooh came over and said, oh, poor Tags.
Oh, man. This has gone off the rails already.
So, guys, this show, we always just jump right into it. But when Joe comes on, we like to have a little bit more fun. And I know that you guys enjoy it. At least that's the feedback we've received as well. So we're going to do the same game as we did last time. Okay? It's embarrassing story, face embarrassing story. Tag, since you won last time, you move on to the judge. So now it's Joe face me. Joe, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. You know what? It's your show. I don't care. You make the choice. If you want.
You go first.
There you go. I will go first. Okay. So I don't embarrass easily. So let me preface this by starting off that way. But I was trying to think of embarrassing and not too far off in the distant past. But I remember my oldest daughter was about 2 years old, and she was not feeling well. She was having a rough go of it. And when you're the stay-at-home parent and you're like trying to take care of all these things and take care of the kid and go grocery shopping, do all this stuff, I could tell something was wrong. She was not doing well. I figured, listen, I got to go to the grocery store. Let's try to get to the grocery store. Daddy, I don't feel good. Okay, listen, we'll go there. We'll get you some stuff and you'll feel better and we'll come home. We'll rest. So we go to the grocery store and I've got almost a full cart of groceries ready to go, trying to be efficient, trying to do all this stuff. And right then and there, and she's sitting in the cart because she's two, just everywhere, all over her, all over the cart, all over the floor. And now I've got a dilemma, right? Because
that sounds terrible.
Look, you and Tag, you guys have kids. You understand these kind of things, right? So now I've got the dilemma. What do I do with this sick kid who is now not only sick, but covered in you know what, and it's gross, and now it's on the floor, and it's on the cart, and I got a cart full of groceries that I haven't paid for. I don't know what to do. And my priority as a parent just kicks in. I go, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick up this child. I'm going to wipe her off in the bathroom and I'm going to take her home. I'm not going to worry about anything else. Bad things happen all the time. And that was my choice. And I left the cart of groceries and vomit in the store. Side note, secondary note to the story. 2 years later, that grocery store closed. 2 years later, that grocery store closed.
It may have been the smells coming from it.
It's your fault. Actually, you know, I think you might have probably should have told someone, but that's a horrible situation. Like, that's cringeworthy.
I wanted to, but you're panicking. She's crying. She's two. She's little. She's upset. She's embarrassed. I'm embarrassed because obviously she's embarrassed. She feels bad. I'm embarrassed. I feel bad. What do I do? When I say to somebody, I can't, I gotta go because, and they're saying, well, no, you have to pay. No, I'm not gonna stay here and pay for this because look, I gotta get this kid home. She's gonna throw up on everything else here. So that's my embarrassing story. There you go.
That is awful. I don't really want to follow that. Like, mine's totally different than yours. Mine's like actually my fault. Yours is like, man, it really is tough being a person sometimes.
There's no heroes in my story. There's no heroes in my story. None. Except the whoever cleaned it up after us, that's the hero.
All right, I'm going to tell my story here in just a moment, but first I want to tell you about the Trade Assistant. And with fantasy trade deadlines coming up, I figured this was probably the best time to tell you guys about it. Basically, Tags and I get so many questions every single week, and this is not like some bragging moment or anything like that. All I'm trying to say is we don't have time to answer all of them. We wish we could. There's so many trade questions out there. Just go to the Trade Assistant on My Playbook. It's going to give you instant analysis on whether or not the analysts all across the industry think it helps your team. You can view our assessment of your league's power rankings before the trade and after the trade, and it even has support for those, you know, 2-for-1 or 3-for-2 trades, however you want to do it. You can check out the Trade Assistant, but it's only available for premium users. Go to fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Okay. So there was this really cute girl in college, and she missed like a week of class, right, because of a funeral or something. So I offered to give her my notes, but, quote, they were on a flash drive, so she'd have to meet me at the cafeteria in the morning, you know. I didn't have the notes, of course, but I basically guaranteed that I could have breakfast with her. So you know how college went. That night I played home run derby with a wiffle ball in the parking lot till like 2 a.m., then smashed a dozen Jack-in-the-Box tacos before playing a few games of FIFA, and then grinded out those notes. So I was awake all night. I ate all these Jack-in-the-Box tacos, right? And I finished just in time, showed up at the cafeteria with a flash drive in hand, and I saw her across the room. But Jack-in-the-Box tacos are filled with refried beans. And I ate 12 of them, so I had to fart, right? I mean, but I better do it before I go talk to her. The problem is, it wasn't a fart. I pooed my pants, guys. Ooh, and she already saw me, so I had two options. Turn around and blow everything. Or walk up to her with poop right in my pants.
Oh, my God. So what did you do?
I got her to marry me, dude. My wife.
You gotta be kidding me.
Oh, I guess the joke's on him.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah. Bobby wins the embarrassing one here.
Wow.
I wouldn't marry you.
Wait, hold on a second. Does Bobby win or is his wife more embarrassed? Let's be honest. She married him.
She's the clear loser in this battle, but Bobby wins the most embarrassing. This is a conversation we had. It's something that I snuck in our live stream yesterday because I wrote Bobby a poem, and at the end
of... That's what made me think of this story is you bringing it up. So thank you, Tags.
Oh, next time I see your wife, I'm going to have a talk with her.
Seriously.
Yeah, she doesn't know, though. So don't tell her, guys.
Well, she knows
I'm
now.
Telling her.
You guys ready to get into the starter set?
Oh, ready as ever.
Can only go up from here.
All right. Yeah, let's get away from this. I'm glad I'm the champion, however. Joe, I don't know. Have you won anything on our show before?
No, I'm a complete nutter. I've won your friendship. That's what I've won.
You have won our friendship.
At least you're dad of the year, though.
We did the, in the offseason, we did the fantasy feud game. And Joe, it had nothing to do with you. Tags destroyed everybody. Like, you were the closest ever to beating him, so.
Well, that's good. I could take solace in that. But in all fairness, too, some of those were wretched. I bet if we go back and look at some of those takes, they were wretched. The people's things there. But I definitely hold the candle for the, I would say, best bit of Fantasy Pros for the year on the podcast. Because when Tags left and came back and then we skewed the second game, you and I, the reaction of Mike was pretty brilliant. I mean, that was...
It was excellent.
What's going on? What's happening?
You know what? I actually have something to admit before I start. I kind of embellished that story a little bit. Like, I guess the only true parts of the story were the playing FIFA and pooping my pants.
I was about to say, like, Jack in the Box tacos are legit. Like, if you've never had those things, like, and if and so,
that was true too, the Jack in the Box tacos. The Jack in the Box tacos, FIFA, and
I've never eaten at a Jack in the Box. We don't have that much in the East Coast.
Everything else completely fabricated.
Joe, do you have Burger King out by you?
Yeah.
You ever have Burger King tacos?
Oh, no.
Oh, that sounds disgusting, guys.
Gross. No.
No. Don't write it off. I promise you. It sounds like the worst thing in the world, but someone told me they're kind of like Jack in the Box, because we don't have Jack in the Box in Illinois either. So I went to a Burger King, and they are very close. Like, don't expect like an authentic Mexican taco.
Okay, now I feel like I'm going to do it just on principle.
I mean, I don't think I would eat a Jack in the Box taco right now. Like, I don't really do the fast food thing, man.
And I'm a Mexican food guy. Like, I make Mexican food. I'm a Mexican food guy. Like, I like authentic, real, you know, Mexican food. So this is a little scary, but I feel like now on principle, I got to try it. So wait, so the fact that you were lying, do I get to win finally on the show or not?
No.
All right.
Well, the thing is, I embarrass myself in front of everybody who's listening by telling them I poop my pants. That's the embarrassing
part. I just feel bad for you in the first one, Joe. It's not embarrassing. I just feel bad for you. Like, if my kid throws up, like, this is my wife knows how it goes. If one of my children throw up, I am leaving the room as fast as I possibly can, because if I see or smell throw up, I throw up as well. So it's just, it's an unpleasant scene. I legit, here's a real story.
Tags, you're grossing everybody out right now, man.
I know. I actually got off my school bus. Someone on the school bus when I was in high school had thrown up, and I got off the bus like 2 miles before my house, and I walked home. I'm not kidding. I jumped out the back exit emergency window. I'm not throwing up, dude. I hate it.
That is the most Tags thing ever.
Poor Tags. His little tummy hurt. Yes.
All right, guys, let's get to the starter sit. We'll start at the running back position. Devin Singletary did really not do much last week, but against Miami, we have to play him, right? Even if he just gets 11 touches again?
I think you have to play him. You do. You got to hope for the best there. I was very upset because I thought we'd finally turned the corner here. Singletary is one of my guys, very vocal about him all year, that he got injured, and unfortunately it's been a long way back. But looking at this matchup, you would hope. My only concern is always that rushing touchdown, because once they get in the red zone area, Josh Allen tends to take over. Josh Allen has become Cam Newton. I don't know if anybody's realized this, but from a fantasy perspective, he's a guy with a big arm, not super accurate, rushes for touchdowns. It's basically Cam Newton. I pretty much summed him up. So for my money, I would say, yeah, you start him out there. I know you guys have him on the PPR. I think it's 16. I think you still start him out there as a low-end RB2, but a much better flex. I'd rather him be my flex.
Tex, where do you have him, man?
I have Singletary at 16. That's exactly where I have him. Despite the fact that we didn't get a whole lot of touches last week, it's because they didn't total a lot of touches. He almost doubled Frank Gore's touches last week. In terms of the snap share, if you go over the last few weeks, like, it's been kind of ridiculous. He's outsnapping him. Like, he outsnapped Gore last week, 46-22. So this is a game where they should be able to run the ball more. The Dolphins are facing an average of 32.6 running back touches per week, and it seems like Frank Gore is not a guy that's going to hold up to 20 touches. So I'm anticipating 15 plus touches for Singletary in a plus matchup, and he has some breakaway potential. He's probably not going to get those goal line carries, but at the same time, he has been breaking some big runs, so I will play Singletary as a solid RB2 this week.
You know, I would play Frank Gore this week. I'd play both Buffalo running backs, so even if Singletary was the number two, I'd still start him.
Yeah, I'm not really a fan of Gore so much this week. I just think that they're slowly moving away from him. They finally, kind of just given in and said, okay, we're not going to do it anymore. Hey, he's down out. He's actually outside my top 30.
They would have done it earlier if Singletary didn't get hurt. I think the only reason you saw what you saw out of Gore was because Singletary just couldn't go. I think they wanted to, my guess was, the plan was, we're going to get this guy working in the first half. And then they realized how good he was in preseason. They let go of McCoy. And they said, okay, we're going to get this guy going after the first month of the season. And then after the first 2 weeks, he got hurt. And then after that, it's been just waiting. I kind of agree. Just like they turned the page last year with Allen, they're going to turn the page at running back to Singletary, because it behooves them as an organization to keep spinning their wheels with the older guys. Keep moving forward. Get the fresh guys out there. And look, if Gore can go out there and help, that's fine. If he, you know, has 10 carries, okay. But I mean, it's got to be more Singletary in this game.
They can make the playoffs. Right now, they're the number one wild card team. I don't know if that's going to keep up.
Good secondary, too. Real good defense.
This is a potential playoff team. A very good offensive line as well. Getting Singletary out there and getting the touches is going to help. But against Miami, I'm not sure it's going to matter as much. You might as well give Frank Gore the touches to keep Devin Singletary a little bit fresh. So I think they're both going to get plenty of touches. Joe, let me ask you this. Would you rather start Adrian Peterson against the Jets, who just crushed Saquon Barkley? Royce Freeman, the number two running back for a bad offense against the Minnesota Vikings? David Johnson, who looks like absolute crap right now. I don't even know if he plays on Sunday. Or would you rather start Frank Gore? For me, it's Gore.
Well, those are my choices. Yes.
I mean, that's 30, 31, and 32 in ECR right now. Those are guys who are being flexed.
Yeah, if those are my choices, I definitely see. David Johnson looks, I mean, that clip of him from the game going around, it looks like your Uncle Frank at the Thanksgiving Day game in the backyard trying to turn the corner on somebody, and he just can't get there, and then he like has, I guess, like sit down after.
It's sad, man. It's such a bummer. Like, he's clearly hurt. They just need to sit him.
Yeah, back issues are tough, man.
So, Tex, is there someone outside the top 30 you'd rather start than Frank Gore? J.D. McKissic, maybe? Kareem Hunt against Pittsburgh?
I would start Peterson or Freeman over him. I just think, like, so Peterson's in a similar situation, right? But Peterson's on the winning side of that. Like, he's actually been performing under Bill Callahan.
Yeah, but the difference is the Jets faced the Dolphins. I mean, Jets are a much more difficult defense. Dolphins are cake.
No, I get that. But, like, Peterson, I think, is locked into more touches than Frank Gore is. Because, they, like I said, if they're cutting back Frank Gore's snaps and they're not getting any work in the passing game, whereas Dwayne Haskins, you know they're going to come out with a run-heavy approach, and they could probably stick to it because the Jets don't put up points on the board. So I wouldn't be shocked if the Redskins run the ball 40 times this game. And they get Darius Geis his 10 touches, but Peterson sees, you know, 18 touches. He's totaled over 100 yards on average ever since Callahan took over.
Yeah, that's a good point. I would take Kareem Hunt, by the way, too, in a full point PPR over Gore, too.
Even against Pittsburgh, huh?
Yeah, even against Pittsburgh, because I think what's going to happen is, look, you can have a very unsexy line of like five catches for, you know, 45 yards or something like that, and a couple rushes, and, you know, God forbid he actually breaks one. It's an opportunity, but I think Pittsburgh's playing so well on defense, but at the same time, I think the way you want to attack the Pittsburgh defense is run the football. And the Rams just stopped running the football in the fourth quarter of that game, and hence they lost that football game. So I think the lesson learned is just keep attacking them with the running backs, keep attacking with Chubb, keep attacking with Hunt, and then take your shots. Don't put the ball in Baker Mayfield's hand to kind of win you that football game.
All right, guys, I've got a couple others outside the top 30 that I want to ask you about. Miles Sanders against New England, I think he's a sit. Tariq Cohen against the Rams. Let's throw in Latavius Murray against Tampa Bay. And then my favorite of this group, Raheem Mostert with Matt Breida out. If Matt Breida was playing, we'd start him against Arizona, right? What's the difference really between Breida and Mostert?
He's not locked into the 13 to 17 touches that Breida was. It still helps with Kyle Juszczyk back in the lineup. Like, I know Tevin Coleman struggled the last time they played, but my choice here, I don't know, you Joe, but I'd say Miles Sanders. It's not a Jordan Howard game.
You imagine they're playing from behind too, right, Mike?
Yeah, basically, if you go in through and look in the games that the Eagles were favorites or underdogs, the point differential for Jordan Howard is massive, and Sanders has had that full bye week to recover from that shoulder issue. They're dropping wide receivers like flies. They don't have many people to throw to, and it's not like, you know, they're going to stick Devin McCourty or Jason McCourty or Stephon Gilmore.
Any McCourty.
Yeah, any of those guys on Miles Sanders. So he's been seeing like targets down the field too. So he just offers a little bit more breakaway potential than he's probably going to wind up with 10 plus touches in this game. So I have him as actually, he's inside my top 30. I would start him over someone like Adrian Peterson or someone like Jordan Howard.
Yeah, I'm with Mike on this too. I do believe that's because he also has that breakaway potential, and you're starting to see that a little bit from Miles Sanders, and that's what you drafted him for. So that would be my guess as well. Here's the other thing, too, about Mostert. Is Wilson active in this game? Because if Wilson's active in this game...
Yeah, that is scary.
That gives you pause because Mostert can do some decent work there. You're not going to catch the ball a ton. That's not really his game there of how they want to run this in the offense. And then you've got the other question of, okay, well, if they do get down there, he does run for 40 yards, and then all of a sudden Wilson just puts in the touchdown, well, you'd rather have Wilson. Because that's 6 points as opposed to the 40 in the standard, and the four, rather.
I want you to keep in mind as well, I don't know if you were watching the game, Tevin Coleman came up limping, and guess who was getting all the carries in the fourth quarter? It was Raheem Mostert. Now, nobody thought Tevin Coleman's out of the game because this is what the 49ers do. They bring in their third, fourth string running backs, and nobody notices, but I'm concerned that maybe there was something wrong with Tevin Coleman, and that's why Mostert was getting the touches. What I'm trying to say is, if you're taking a shot in the dark, I think Mostert has big-time upside. I'm going to use him in GPP a couple times this week.
So here, I want to ask you guys some questions real quick, just because like I always try and think like, what's the biggest question we're going to get? There's a lot of people that own David Johnson, right? Like he's owned in a lot of leagues, and let's pretend that we're leading up to the week. They say that he practices similar to last week, right? And we're going to play the situation as it is. Do you bench David Johnson for someone like a Tariq Cohen, a Raheem Mostert, a Kalen Ballage? Do you bench him for those guys?
I'll tell you what, I'd bench him for Mostert. I don't know about the other two. Mostert, I would bench him for.
Yep, me too. Not the other two.
And the only problem, again, when I go back to Mostert, with, you know, you mentioned him in GPP for DFS this week. Luckily, I just literally last hour just did the DFS show with Chris Meany. The upside for the touchdown not being there makes him a hard sell for me. If you're looking for a cheaper running back who has that kind of upside, I would much rather go pivot down, no matter how high the ownership's going to be on a guy like Brian Hill. That would be the better look than a guy like Mostert because there's no competition. And on top of that, more upside for a touchdown in that game against the Panthers for him.
You brought up an interesting name. So I've been getting a lot of questions about Brian Hill with his matchup this week against Carolina. He is an absolute lock, right? We can just move on.
Yes, you start him. I have a 13.
100%, yeah.
Okay, what about Austin Eckler against Kansas City? Is he still a lock?
I'm at 19, so I'd say yes. I think there's enough touches to go around against Kansas City. They've played 10 games, and there's been 14 running backs who have finished as top 36 options. Eckler's obviously more efficient than an average running back. I do happen to think that the Chargers are going to have to run a few more plays than they typically do in this game. It's going to, like, they like to slow the game down, and against Kansas City, they're going to need to get out front. If they want to control that game at all. And if they do get out front, they're going to run the ball. And if they don't get out front, they're going to be throwing from behind, which means Eckler's going to rack up some targets. So I do think that he's a low-end RB2 this week.
I agree.
I think if they lose this week, the season's over for the Chargers. So I would imagine we're going to see some Eckler. I've got him right now number 18. I'm looking at ECR at 17. It seems about right. Kansas City has not been good against running backs. All right, guys, we've got some more running backs to talk about. But first, I wanted to tell you about one of the sponsors of today's show, FanDuel. Guys, this season on FanDuel, there are more ways to win than ever because FanDuel has more ways to win cash prizes and once-in-a-lifetime experiences during every single game, every single week. If you've never played FanDuel Fantasy Football before, that's great because new users get $5 in site credit upon their first deposit. This week's going to be a great week to play because we basically get the freebie with Brian Hill being so cheap against Carolina. And it's going to be really interesting to see now that Christian McCaffrey's price is so high, just how high his ownership is still going to be because he's been so dynamic all season long, regardless of the matchup. And here's the best thing about playing daily fantasy sports. You get to pick a new team every single week. It doesn't matter if you've got injuries like Kerryon Johnson going down or some major bust like Antonio Brown really not even being part of the NFL. It's not going to ruin your season because you can pick a new team each and every week, and you don't have to miss out on Christian McCaffrey just because you didn't get the number one overall pick. You can build whatever team you want as long as you stay under the budget. So it's a lot of fun, there's a ton of strategy, and there's a chance to win millions of dollars too, which is always great. You can sign up for FanDuel and get $5 in total bonus. Just make your first deposit to get started, and you'll get $5 in site credit. Go to FanDuel.com/fantasypros or download the FanDuel app. Now, we're going to play the game where I give you three names. You tell me which one you prefer the most. In fact, let's rank them. So we got Todd Gurley at home against Chicago, Joe Mixon at Oakland, David Montgomery at the Los Angeles Rams. So tagged your first, Gurley, Mixon, Montgomery.
It would be Gurley, Montgomery, Mixon for me.
I'm going to go with Mixon, Gurley, Montgomery.
That's what I've got too.
It's funny because we just did this. We played this game on another show just yesterday. We were doing a would you rather, and I put together would you rather rest of the season Todd Gurley touchdown dependent or Joe Mixon potential better workload here in the second half. I'm going to take the workload with Mixon here just by a hair.
Me too. The offensive line actually looked a lot better last week against Baltimore. It just seemed like they were playing for their jobs, right? Because you get to this point in the season, a lot of these guys don't know, am I going to be cut from the team? Maybe they're upcoming free agents and they say, look, our team doesn't have any wins, but that doesn't mean like my career doesn't matter. And Cincinnati's offensive line looked pretty good. That's why Mixon had 151 total yards last week against Baltimore's good defense. Yeah, granted, he had 32 touches, but if the Bengals are going to give him 32 touches, heck yeah, I'm starting him.
That's the question. I mean, before this game, there wasn't a game where he had more than, I think, was it 19 carries?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like David Montgomery in week 8 when he had 31 touches, right?
Well, I know, but Mixon's been the starter the entire time. I mean, it wasn't really a timeshare. It's just more about, like, having control of the ball for enough of the time. Like, that's my concern. And the Raiders are not a bad run defense. Like, they've been having a lot of injuries that can affect that team, but they're a team that you throw the ball on more than you do run it.
Yeah, and Joe Mixon's not being used as much in the passing game. Look, I don't like any of these three options, Gurley, Mixon, Montgomery, but with buys, their ECR 18, 19, 20, that's about where I've got them as well. Now, next three here, Philip Lindsay, these are all bad matchups. Philip Lindsay at Minnesota. Ronald Jones at home against the Saints. Sony Michel at the Philadelphia Eagles. Joe, you're first.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, this is crazy. I know it's going to sound kooky. I really think it's a James White game. So I'm going to fade away from Michel. I hate the matchup for Lindsay. So give me Ronald Jones one. Even though he fumbled, oh God, I hate myself here.
There's a chance he gets six touches.
There's a chance he gets six touches and a chance he has another game like he had last week where he's catching the football and doing things and it's useful. And that's the way you got to look at it. And I always look at Tampa as they're completely irresponsible, which means there's always a chance for fantasy points because they just don't care. They're completely irresponsible with the football. So that's a good thing for us. It's a bad thing for, you know, for them sometimes. But give me Jones, give me Michelle, give me Lindsay third. I just think that's a real tough sell going up to Minnesota, rookie quarterback playing in that building against that Vikings D, which has been really good against the run lately.
And Freeman's been the one getting the work in the passing game over the last month as well. So I would agree with you that I've got, who was it? Ronald Jones, number one. I've got Lindsay just a little bit ahead of Sony Michelle, though. Tags, what do you have?
I have it. Sony and Lindsay right next to each other, actually. Like, they're right there. They're both in terrible matchups. You're looking for a touchdown. I think Sony has a better chance. And then I have Rojo down at 29. So I'm low on him. So the thing is, he actually has a higher floor than most think. Like, I was looking at that. It's odd. He's had at least 6.2 PPR points in 8 of 9 games this year, which is actually not a bad floor considering, like, there's 4 teams on bye. You know, some people lost Devonta Freeman. You may have lost Matt Breida. So, like, some people, like, are looking for someone with a decent floor, and I think he gives you a decent floor, but I don't see a ceiling in this game because New Orleans is, like, they might be the best run defense in the NFL. And Ronald Jones, yeah, he caught 8 passes last week, but the fumble is what leaves me, like, worried about him. It seems like that's a team that they'll pull the plug at any time. So it's like, against New Orleans, I'm just not willing to take the shot on him.
So this is really interesting. I like to do this once per show, and on one where we all three of us disagree about the order that we've got them in. I look up who should I start, right? So it's fantasypros.com/NFL/start. You can go in there, type in any players you want, 2 players, 3 players, 4 players. It's going to tell you all the analysts who have given their rankings to Fantasy Pros so far. Who are they recommending you start out of this group? So right now, this is pretty wild. Out of 57 analysts who have submitted their rankings, Sony Michel only has 2 of them who have him number 1. Philip Lindsay has 44. I've got it sorted by the most accurate so far analysts at ranking running backs. Joe Bond has Lindsay at 21, Ronald Jones at 24, Sony Michel at 26. John Paulson, 21, 19 for Ronald Jones, 29 for Sony Michel. And that's trend all the way down to, you know, in the top 30. Every single person besides John Paulson has Philip Lindsay number 1. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And Tags, you're right. You're right in that group, man. So, you know, you're the first person that has Sony Michel.
Crazy. I mean, I have him and Lindsay right next to each other, so it's not like it's a big difference. So I could see it, but I didn't think it would be that big, though.
All right, last group of 3, we got Carlos Hyde at Baltimore. We got Kenyon Drake at San Francisco. And let's go Kalen Ballage at home against Buffalo. He had 20 carries last week. So let me do them again. Kalen Ballage, Kenyon Drake, Carlos Hyde.
This is easy for me. This is much easier. I'm going to take Carlos Hyde.
Me too.
Sorry, it's not sexy, yeah. But you know what? Give me Carlos Hyde there. If you ask me, this will forever be, no matter what happens the rest of the year, Kenyon Drake's performance a couple weeks ago was the most improbable thing to happen. If you told me Kenyon Drake was going to have the best game of his life, probably, or at least the best game of this year that he's going to have in a short week, getting traded to a new team against the 49ers. Can I give more improbable things to happen all at once? And then he did. Now, is he going to do it a second time? No, I don't know.
49ers have been getting whooped by running backs. Last month, here we go. Chris Carson, 25 for 89 and a touchdown. We had Kenyon Drake, 110 for a touchdown. We had Christian McCaffrey, 14 for 117 and a touchdown. And then before then, it was Adrian Peterson, 20 for 81.
Yeah, they're a beatable run defense.
That's because they're so aggressive, though, don't you think, Mike?
Well, losing Quan Alexander, like, losing him, like, it's going to hurt the run defense, too. But they've allowed, yeah, it's over the last month, the last 4 weeks, yeah, they've allowed 4.95 yards per carry with 3 rushing touchdowns.
It's got to be bottom 5 in the NFL.
And honestly, I like Drake. I have him above Hyde. I have him up at 21 right now. I might be too high. It just kind of depends on David Johnson, that whole situation. But the reason I like him is because San Francisco's not going to pull away with this game if they're missing George Kittle and Emmanuel Sanders. Like, these are key injuries for Garoppolo, because if he loses those guys, it's like, who is he going to? And
apparently Debo Samuel all night.
Yeah, Debo, I mean, well, he's going to match up with Patrick Peterson if Emmanuel Sanders is out then.
Well, yeah, but Patrick Peterson hasn't been great. And on top of that, I'll tell you what, all you want is those guys on the field. If you can get Kittle and Sanders just on the field, Debo's the guy you like the most no matter what, because then all of a sudden you have to count for everybody, and then Debo's in single coverage all day. And I think Debo has showed you another guy that, like Singleton, we had high hopes for, and unfortunately injury and a couple other setbacks. And then now we're looking at the second half stretch run of these guys, the Singletaries and Samuels, all the guys we talked about back in July and August, now starting to come to fruition. It's taken a little while, unfortunately, because of injury. But I love that spot. To me, Kalen Ballage is such a distant third, though, from these two guys. I can't get there.
I like the Kenyon Drake call. I've got him right up there, number 2 behind Carlos Hyde. But I mean, tags, I'm looking at it right now. San Francisco's 11.5-point favorites. Are you smashing that one?
I think that's a terrible line.
You taking the money line too, plus 430?
I won't do money line, no, but I'll take
I was just messing, man. I know you're not doing money line.
No, but I have Arizona.
I actually do like the Cardinals at plus 11.5.
Yeah. I think they take it out on them this time.
I've been betting against the 49ers all year against the spread, and it only worked out last week. I took the money line too.
Let me tell you something. I would be very careful with this one. They just lost this game. It was a tough game against a tough team there. Clowney played very well. Wilson, obviously, you know, another notch in the MVP belt for him.
Kicker missed the field goal, otherwise they would have won it too.
Well, and that's the whole thing. It's like, look, let's get back to understanding that the Cardinals are not the Seahawks. So, and they had a little, you know, the Cardinals, they kind of let back in that game. People might not remember this, but I think this is one where they, even though with the short week, they kind of take it out on the Cardinals a little bit here.
All right, guys, let's go to the wide receiver position. I've been getting a lot of questions about Terry McLaurin. Do I cut him? Do I trade him? Do I start him against the Jets? Oh, yeah, you start him against the Jets. He's a wide receiver, too. Do you agree, Tags?
Yep. I like McLaurin quite a bit this week. Like, even with he was being shadowed by Tre'Davious White, and I think he had 4 catches for 36 yards in that game. That's a brutal matchup. So knowing that Haskins has had time to kind of, like, you know, bring himself slowly into the NFL, have the entire bye week to work as the starter in practice, there's some things that are going to benefit. I have McLaurin at 18 this week, so I do think that he's an absolute start.
Man, I thought I loved McLaurin. I've got him at 20. You've got him a little bit higher than me, but I agree. F1 McLaurin is a great start. Joe, where do you have McLaurin?
How about absolute? I think he's okay. I'm not there yet. It sounds good that Haskins is going to have more time to prepare, and the Jets are not exactly, you know, the greatest defense in the world, but...
No, they're terrible.
Yeah. They're terrible.
Yeah, they're really bad. They got whooped by Ryan Fitzpatrick and Daniel Jones.
Oh, I hear you. Believe me, no one enjoys this more than me. I love when the Jets are bad. I'm a Pats fan.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. I almost asked if you were a Jets fan. That would have been so mean of me to do.
Oh, very insulting. Highly insulting.
So would you rather start Terry McLaurin than Michael Gallup against Detroit? Robert Woods face Chicago?
Not over Gallup, but over Woods. You know, the Woods have been tricky, man. That's been, it's funny when we go back and think about how those, you know, Woods, Cooks, and Kupp were right neck and neck, basically, in ADP going into the year. And Kupp was always third in that conversation for most people, not for me personally, but for most people it was. And Woods has just been a weird enigma. I mean, at this point, I can understand taking McLaurin because at least with McLaurin, he only doesn't, you know, even if he catches 4 balls, he just needs that one good one. And I love those kind of receivers. It's kind of like my Cortland Sutton thing, why I like him so much. So, you know, he's that one ball. Can he catch that one ball for the touchdown or that one ball for 60 yards? Good. Let's get on that and let's do that. So I'm fine there. But I'll tell you what, I like Crowder more than him this week because of the volume, the low floor. I mean, they're not on Fantasy Pros. They're only a couple apart from each other. But I mean, I just think Crowder's got just a much higher floor than McLaurin. So I'll take him. Especially with no tight ends there really to think of at this point. I know Ryan Griffin caught a touchdown or two, but I don't know if I'm really excited about the tight ends of the Jets.
Of course. Tags, would you agree with that? Gallup, McLaurin, Crowder in the same spectrum? And then Robert Woods?
I have a Gallup first, McLaurin, and then there's a gap to Woods. I have Woods down at 27, and I have Crowder at 29. I don't think Crowder's matchup is bad. I've been burned by Jets wide receivers too many times, and
well, they've got a lot of mouths to feed, and they just aren't going to get that many yards because it's Sam Darnold and this offensive line.
That game is literally going to age everyone about 10 years. I'm not kidding. Like, it's two of the slowest paced teams that just don't score very many points. There's a reason that I think both the Redskins and the Jets are both considered top 10 defensive plays this week.
Dang. Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I think you're right. It sounds crazy, but I think that you're right, man. All right, guys, a few more wide receivers to talk about. But first, thanks to Grammarly for supporting our podcast. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. They encourage everyone, even the best students and top professionals, to use Grammarly to do their best work and accomplish even more of their goals. I've been using Grammarly since even before I was an analyst at Fantasy Pros, and I'll be honest with you. I never realized how much of a train wreck my grammar and spelling were until I started using it. And frankly, having Grammarly on my side may have been the difference between getting noticed for this job or still working my boring old IT job. I had a serious issue with being concise in my writing, and Grammarly Premium helped me nip that in the bud. Look, I don't care how smart you are. Grammarly is going to make you improve yourself while looking and sounding smarter. You can show your best self across a number of platforms, including the online browser extension, the desktop editor, and a mobile keyboard checker. It works with Chrome, Firefox, Safari, Edge, iOS, Android, Windows, and Mac. The free version checks your spelling and grammar, but the premium version is incredible. Listen to this. It adds advanced punctuation, style within context. It helps you with your vocabulary, conciseness, as I mentioned, readability, and even structure. Accomplish your goals with the help from Grammarly and stop making all those email typos on your phone. Close more deals at work this year with your emails or polish your resume to get a great new job like I did. Go to Grammarly.com/fantasypros to get 20% off your Grammarly premium account today. That's Grammarly.com/fantasypros for 20% off your Grammarly premium account. Okay, a lot of questions again about Juju Smith-Schuster. He plays on Thursday against the Cleveland Browns. So let's throw him in there with Tyrell Williams against Cincinnati and Christian Kirk against San Francisco. So Kirk, Tyrell Williams, Juju Smith-Schuster. Joe, which way are you going?
I'll go with Tyrell Williams because the Bengals are trash. And then I'll take Juju second. And I know this is going to be unpopular. I'll take Kirk third. And it's very close, second and third for me. I know Kirk was awesome last week. I get that.
He's getting so many targets, too. He's got double-digit targets in 4 out of 6, 7 games this year.
And that'd be great. I mean, you know, the part of the reason why I like Crowder when we were just talking about him is because of the target volume he gets, especially when the Jets are, you know, have their you-know-what together a little bit. But Juju being banged up is worrisome. If it was anybody else but the 49ers in this particular game, I just feel like the 49ers are pissed off and they're going to take it out on the Cardinals and it's going to be ugly. And I think that...
Well, also remember what happened to Christian Kirk when he played the 49ers just 2 weeks ago. 2 receptions for 8 yards.
It wasn't good. It was not a good look. And that's the thing. Like, you know, you can't just say, oh, he was great last week. You got to say, okay, that was last week. What's this week? And you've got to really think long and hard about it. For me, I'll take Tyrell Williams. And I'll tell you the other guy, too, in that offense, don't forget about Hunter Renfrow. He's starting to have a couple good games, stringing them in a row, too. And Waller's come back a little bit while Renfro's gone up a little bit.
I don't think Renfrow was a bad wide receiver for flex play this week. Now, Tags, I've also, same as Joe, I've got Williams, then Juju, and then a pretty big gap in Christian Kirk is my number 30 wide receiver this week. Where do you have him?
I've got Juju at 26, Tyrell at 31, and Kirk at 34. So they're all in the, you know, that I say wide receiver 3 range. Smith-Schuster's, it's so frustrating, man. The guy's super talented, and it's ridiculous kind of week to week what we're seeing out of him. Tyrell Williams, though, you'd have to go all the way back to week 2 to find the last time Tyrell Williams caught more than 3 balls. That's a problem. They're going to run the ball a lot in that game. Like, they're not going to throw the ball a whole lot. Kirk's matchup is obviously brutal. So it kind of goes in line here. It's just I'm going to take Juju because I just feel like he's the one that presents the most upside. And when he's in the slot against Cleveland, he's not up against Greedy Williams or Denzel Ward, who are the two better cornerbacks in that roster. So I'll go Juju.
So you're saying you love Mason Rudolph?
Absolutely not.
Okay, next 3. Mike Williams, he goes up against the Kansas City Chiefs at home. Let's go Sammy Watkins at the Los Angeles Chargers, so a home game for the Kansas City Chiefs, and Mohamed Sanu at Philadelphia. So here we go again. Mike Williams, Sammy Watkins, Mohamed Sanu. Tags, your first this time.
I'm going to go Watkins, Sanu, Mike Williams.
Mike Williams, the same guy that's had at least 50 yards every single game since week 3.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the guy that can't score touchdowns.
Boy, talk about leading the witness.
No, wow. It's fine. No. So here's the thing. Like, Sammy Watkins is like, so if you're playing the DFS showdown slate on Monday night, I highly suggest you get some Sammy Watkins like exposure, because I don't think everyone realized the opportunity he's had there. Like, so the games that he's actually played, because I'm not going to count the one where he left in the first drive of the game. Okay. But
he's been top 2 win targets in the NFL.
Well, he has 9.3 targets per game. Okay, that is kind of ridiculous. He's seen less than 8 targets just once. So it's like, eventually this is going to catch up, and like, Tyreek Hill is not going to go for 140 plus yards a week. Mecole Hardman is not going to break, you know, 50 yard plays every single week. And it's like, Sammy Watkins was a very, very talented receiver, and we saw it in week 1. So I don't know if he was working his way back. I don't know what was going on with Sammy Watkins, but playing alongside Patrick Mahomes.
Wait. Are you saying he's hurt? Not Sammy Watkins.
No, that wouldn't happen.
You couldn't possibly be dealing with an injury of some kind. That'd be nuts.
No, those target numbers with the fact that the Chargers allow 71.4 catch rate to wide receivers, it's one of the highest marks in the league. I have Sammy Watkins as like a high upside wide receiver 3 that I would play over someone like Juju. I would play him over Robert Woods and guys like Jamison Crowder.
I've got Sammy Watkins in my top 25 too, so I'm not going to fight you. But I love Mike Williams going up against Kansas City this week. He's been consistent. Like, he hasn't got the touchdowns, but if we're going to talk about someone with touchdown upside, I mean, if anyone's due for positive touchdown regression besides Devontae Adams, it's Mike Williams.
Well, and Robert Woods, too. But real quick, Bobby, have you realized since they let go of Ken Wisenhunt, he has seen 4 targets and 3 targets.
Ooh, that's bad.
It's not good.
Well, he's also got to take into account like who they're playing to.
It was Oakland last week. It was Oakland last week, man.
I had him as like a top 15 play last week, and it was
Oakland's better. Listen, a couple weeks ago, it's a true story. We did a bit about we always do this every year. Last year we did it on the show, and it was who's the best under 500 team in the NFL? And last year at 2-5, I said the Colts. The Colts are a good football team. I know they're 2-5. They play good on both sides of the front of the lines there. And Darius Leonard's a beast. This is going to get better. And they end up being a playoff team. And this past one was tough. We did it 2 weeks ago, same point in the season. And I said the Oakland Raiders. And I firmly believe that. The Oakland Raiders are going to challenge here. And I understand, like, personnel-wise, they don't dazzle you, but they're starting to play better, and they're a young team, and they're buying into what Gruden's selling. And they shake off losses. They shake off bad moments way quicker than some other people. I feel like it's fresh start over there for them. In this matchup, for me, give me Sanu with Brady against the Eagles secondary. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's my clear number one, and I was shocked. I was shocked how good Sanu looked in that game against the Ravens. I mean, he looked really good. Like, he's starting to come along really quickly, and that is not an easy offense to pick up. And Sanu looks totally at ease there, so give me that matchup for sure. I understand what Tags is saying about Watkins. This is tough for me because I had Watkins 3, and now I'm starting to rethink it because Mike was very passionate, and he made a lot of good arguments. But at the end of the day, I want that touchdown, and I think that touchdown lives with Mike Williams, and I'm going to go there by a hair over him.
That a baby. All right, I like all 3 of them. They're all well within my top 30. Now, Tags, you've got the Chicago Bears as your team under 500. That's the best team in the NFL, right?
No.
I was just messing with you, man. Who are you going with?
They are the most I mean, I don't want to, you know, rain on the parade here. I know this is personal for Mike, but they are definitely, I'm shocked at how bad they've been this year. Like, I had high expectations for them. I thought Trubisky was going to take another step forward and say, hey, got really inconsistencies.
Right. I thought they were a Super Bowl contender.
Well, I definitely thought they were a playoff team, but they've just fallen apart. And the weirdest part is I've always liked Matt Nagy. I liked him when he was a coordinator, even before people else were like, oh, this guy's really great. Well, yeah, it's puzzling, man. I mean, are they going to make the same mistake next year, Tags, where they go into, you know, they have the Winston on the 4th year of the deal, Mario on the 4th year. Are we going to go in the 4th year deal with Trubisky, or are they going to bring in somebody to challenge him here?
I don't know. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I think they stick with Trubisky because I do believe that Ryan Pace's job is tied to Trubisky. And I think he made that clear when he traded for him, and everybody kind of knew it. Nagy has outcoached himself. Like, Trubisky actually looked better this past week. He played like the quarterback that he looked like in 2018, which is not a league winner, not an MVP or anything like that, but a guy that can be competent enough with a really good defense. And but no, they're not the best team under 500. I would say that actually the Chargers, there's too much talent on that team.
There's a lot, but there's also a lot of injuries, man. Their offensive line, their defense. I'm going with the Cleveland Browns. I know they're 3-6, but listen to this. The rest of the season schedule, if they finish 10-6, don't be surprised. They've got a great rest of the season schedule.
Have you seen Freddie Kitchens coach a football team?
Oh, yeah, it's not good. It is not good. But they also just beat the Buffalo Bills, man. The Buffalo Bills were a pretty good team.
The Bills almost lost to the Dolphins.
The Bills did almost lose to the Dolphins. The Cleveland Browns whooped the Baltimore Ravens.
I can't do it, Kitchens, man. That team is loaded with talent. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah, what I'm saying is, if they make the playoffs, don't be surprised. We got to keep going though. Let's go to the keep going with the wide receiver position. We'll do one more group of 3, then we'll go outside the top 40. So let's go Zach Pascal. He's faced AJ Boye and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Alshon Jeffrey against Stephon Gilmore. And then let's go Marvin Jones, who I remember last week was ranked in everyone's top 20, and now suddenly he's at 36. Which one are you going with, Joe? Marvin Jones, Alshon Jeffrey, Zach Pascal?
Man, well, if Stafford plays, then it's Jones. If not, then I'm going to... Should we live in a world where Stafford's not playing or that he is playing?
I don't think he's going to play. I'm gonna assume he doesn't play.
I'm going to assume that too. So let's live in that world instead. Forget Jeffrey, he's third. If you haven't watched Gilmore play all year... Then, sorry, you're going to be disappointed in Mr. Jeffrey. So he's there.
Unless you're Corey Davis, you can't do anything against Stephon Gilmore.
No, period. So Pascal will be 1, Jones will be 2, Jeffrey will be 3. But I say what, you know, we can make the jokes about Driscoll, but you know what? Driscoll had a nice little roll out there. He wasn't horrible. He had a nice touchdown to Kenny Golladay there. And, you know, the problem is, you know, no run game. When there's no support there and you can't vary things, you become very predictable, and that's kind of death. So it looks like Brissett's going to play because that's basically their season on the line. So I'll take my shot with Pascal, Jones second, and Jeffrey third. And I'm kind of miserable about all three of these choices.
Agreed.
Yeah, I don't like any of them. They're all wide receiver force for me.
Yep. Dallas is a brutal matchup for wide receivers, even with Stafford. But I would say Jones if Stafford plays, but I don't think we can assume that.
Anyone else that we haven't talked about, guys, that you would feel comfortable playing? Tags, why don't you go first?
I mean, we talked about Auden Tate earlier in the week as someone. I have him as my number 30 wide receiver right now.
Yeah, right now he's ECR 43. I've got him at 31. I'm with you.
Yeah, this is assuming AJ Green does not play. So, like, that's the thing. So, since entering the starting lineup in week 3, Tate has received 58 targets. There's just 12 wide receivers in football who have more during that time. He ranks 24th in yardage during that time. The Raiders have, there's been 15 wide receivers against the Raiders who have totaled double-digit PPR points, and that's basically what it's going to take to finish as a top 35 receiver this week with four teams on bye. So, and on top of that, they just lost LaMarcus Joyner in the secondary. They lost Carl Joseph. This team is just, like, bleeding. There's injuries so many places, and again, the Raiders are a good run defense, so Auden Tate should receive, I would say, probably 8 targets in this game, and I'll play him as a back-end wide receiver 3.
I was going to say Auden Tate, but you know what? We also didn't talk about Deebo Samuel with Emmanuel Sanders likely out, George Kittle potentially out as well. And we saw Deebo Samuel in this role, except it was against Seattle. Now he gets Arizona. I've got Deebo Samuel in my top 30, Joe.
Yeah, I mentioned him earlier. I like him a lot more if everyone else is on the field, because if those guys are just on the field and not healthy, that means that Deebo is going to eat. And if they're not on the field and everyone can target Deebo, then all you got to do is stop him. And the 49ers are incredibly predictable. I've been watching this all year, and I just want to scream at the TV because this is what they do. They run the football, and they throw slants over the middle. So if you can drop a linebacker who's worth his salt back in coverage, like, they better, like, there's a couple teams out there that can really do that. They better hope they don't run into any of those anytime soon. But if that's the case, and then on top of it, if you can have a safety who can come up and cover a little bit, it's very easy to stop this offense, and they turn the ball over a ton, too. Another guy for me, I know I mentioned him earlier, I just want to hit him again, is Renfro. I just feel like he's a guy trending in the right direction right now. I think this is a guy that you look at and you go, okay, things are moving, things are starting to pace better. It's not surprising. Sometimes it just takes guys a little bit of time to kind of crack that lineup, and they don't want to, like, expose the kid too soon if he's not quite ready, and he looks ready the last couple weeks. I mean, he's getting decent targets. He's catching a couple touchdowns. And I don't think he's quite touchdown dependent. Look, if he gives you against the Bengals, who are awful, I think it's very easy to think he's got a floor of 6 for 60. I mean, that's a very easy 12-point floor.
I'm going to go Demaryius Thomas against Washington as well. Now let's move on to the quarterback position. You know, the top 5 are really easy. Jackson, Mahomes, Breeze, because he gets Tampa Bay. Watson, Dak Prescott, because he gets Detroit. After that, I think we got to start Josh Allen against the Miami Dolphins, Jameis Winston without Lattimore against the New Orleans Saints. Would you guys agree with that? Allen and Winston are must-starts?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. I have Matt Ryan over Winston, but I don't know. I think I should probably rethink that.
Carolina's really banged up, man. I mean, both their guys, Bradberry and Jackson, are dealing with injuries.
Yeah, and they've a lot of rushing touchdowns, and I think at some point, like, it's going to flip. So the reason I say that is because they could be really bad against running backs. That's fine, okay? But going back to last year, there was no team in the NFL who allowed a rushing touchdown more often than every 20.7 carries, okay? So this year, the lowest number is obviously the Panthers. I'm not going to give that away yet. The second highest team is at 20.6. So we're right around the same thing. We know that NFL teams are like the bottom of the barrel is right around 20 carries for a touchdown, rushing touchdown. The Panthers are allowing one every 14 carries. It's kind of stupid, right? And that's why everybody likes Brian Hill. But I think at some point, some of those start fluctuating and they start going to the wide receiver position. So I think Matt Ryan's a decent play this week.
Yeah, I agree. I like Matt Ryan a lot. DFS community too. Take notice because he's very cost effective this week when everyone's going to be at the top of the board for Watson and Jackson and Breeze on the road. Matt Ryan is a really nice pivot down there. And Kyle Allen is not terrible either, because if you believe that McCaffrey's going to run amok on this offense, some of that's going to be through the air, and that's going to all go to Kyle Allen too. And let's not overlook how good DJ Moore has been. Go look at that game log. That is a game log. I mean, the touchdowns are not there. I don't care, man. That guy is money in the bank on a weekly basis. The guy shows up and gets you, you know, 14 points. He's fantastic.
Allen threw 43 passes last week as well, so they're airing it out quite a bit. I think that it happens against Atlanta as well. Now, the next four on this list are all really interesting. This is ECR that I'm going off. Again, fantasypros.com/rankings. We got Tom Brady at Philadelphia. Killer matchup. I think you got to play him. Derek Carr against Cincinnati, that's a very good play as well. Phillip Rivers has looked pretty awful, but he gets Kansas City, and then Jimmy Garoppolo, without all his wide receivers, face Arizona. That's the exact order I've got them in. Brady, Carr, Rivers, Garoppolo. Do you agree, Joe?
I agree with that order 100%, especially Brady off the bye, off a loss. We've learned nothing in the last 20 years. Can we all agree that, look, they just lost a tough football game. They had a week to think and stew about it. And against a bad secondary, do we not think that they're going to come out and put a hurting on the Eagles? Of course they are. So give me Brady. I think Brady's far above the rest of this group, even though Carr's played very well. Carr over the Rivers. And then, you know, my problem with Garoppolo is just the turnovers. Like, it's a killer, because every time he gives you something positive, there's that little bit of negative, and it seeps in there, and it's very troubling.
Tags, which way are you going with these guys?
I have it the exact way you guys do. I have Brady at 7. I have Derek Carr at 11. I have Rivers at 13 and Garoppolo at 15.
All right, what about Kyler Murray at San Francisco? Can we play him this week? Would you play Kyle Allen over him?
Murray, I have at 10. I have Kyle Allen at 12. So I'd still go Murray, but it's close.
I'll play Allen over him. I just like the matchup a whole lot. It's not a knock on Kyler Murray, because I want to give that kid credit. It's been a tough schedule for him some weeks, but the dude showed out there. But for me, I'm going to go the other way. I think, like I said, McCaffrey's going to pull Allen along this week.
I've got Kyler Murray just by a little bit as well. Quite good against San Francisco a couple weeks ago. And, you know, the thing is, he's not just a rushing quarterback. He's actually a pretty dang good passer, too. He's been getting better as the season goes on. I don't think Murray's a bad play. I've got him right at ECR 13 this week, and I've got Allen right at ECR 14. Anybody outside the top 14 that you guys wouldn't mind starting if you're desperate?
There's really not. I think it's pretty set in stone for me. I don't really feel comfortable outside the top 14. Like, Cousins not going to throw a whole lot of passes versus Denver, and it's a terrible matchup. Like, absolutely, like, one of the worst matchups in football, right behind, like, the Patriots and the 49ers. Goff, well, we know Jared Goff.
And to get Chicago, too. Like, no to Goff. Big no.
Yeah, I would say Darnold is someone that, if you're in a pinch, I would rather play him over someone like Kirk Cousins this week.
I've got him 15. I'm with you. I mean, there's a big gap between 14 and 15, but yeah, I've got Darnold at 15.
I wonder if you can make a case for Foles this week against Indianapolis. I know Indy likes to pull you down and kind of play in the mud a little bit, but Foles has got a lot to prove, but in a way, he's kind of got something to prove here. Minshew kind of took over. He's coming out there. I think this is kind of important. Come out of the bye strong, make a statement, big game for them in division. Foles would not shock me as a really good QB2 this week as a you know, second quarterback in a super flex.
I see the upside, absolutely, but I'm using Indianapolis in DFS because Nick Foles behind this offensive line is going to be a disaster, and I'm a Jags fan.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's my prediction, at least. Let's go on to the tight end position. We've got 6 of the big 8 this week, assuming George Kittle's going to be out. If Kittle plays, obviously you start him. Now, Austin Hooper is now out for a month. So if you've got Austin Hooper tags, who are you picking up to stream this week?
You're now streaming moving forward. I would actually drop Austin Hooper.
Yeah. I mean, we've had so many questions like, who's the best rest of the season tight end to pick up for Hooper? That's not the question. It's stream every single week, because that's better than any one player for the rest of the season.
David Njoku might be someone that he's probably available in your league, and you could pick him up, and he's probably going to be in the every week conversation.
I don't think so. I think he's still a streamer, man. There's a lot of question marks about him.
There's a lot of question marks about everybody.
How about Kyle Rudolph?
Well, once Adam Thielen comes back, he's dead.
Okay. But, I mean, in the meantime.
Yeah, I mean, his last 3 weeks, 17 yards, 23 yards, 14 yards.
Well, but to Mike's point, it's without Thielen, so
yeah.
Mike's not wrong there, obviously, but you look at the rest of the board here, it ain't good.
It's ugly.
It's bad, yeah.
Can a guy catch a touchdown? Yeah. And can Rudolph do it? Yeah. So I look at this board, and a lot of people drop O.J. Howard. He's another guy that's probably a free agent in a lot of leagues.
He's a top 12 tight end this week, even against New Orleans, yeah.
By default, I don't love it, but I'll tell you what, the other guy for me for tight ends is Noah Fant, who, not this week per se, but I would say that whenever you transition to younger quarterbacks, the tight end tends to step forward. He's been, you know, out there every week, starting to get more familiar, starting to make some better plays. I'm not saying he's going to be fantastic, but look, it's already tight end. You're already playing from behind. So guys like Howard, guys like Rudolph, or take a shot on a guy like Fant, that's the way I would go if I didn't have Hooper.
And since the trade of Emmanuel Sanders, fans leading this team in targets, now it hasn't been a ton, but this is somebody who can break a big run as well. So I do have Fant in my top 12. Tags, how low do you have him? Because ECR has Fant at 17.
Yeah, I am not even close to that. I am at 19. I am so low on Noah Fant. It's not even funny this week.
No, it's a bad week. It's a bad, I prefaced, bad week. I knew it.
If you gave him to me for like 1,500 in DFS, I don't think I'd play him. So the reason, so the Vikings, like, listen to this real quick. Like, this is kind of ridiculous. They've allowed 1.28 PPR points per target. That is the lowest mark in the NFL. Okay, that's one thing. It's like, oh, okay, but tight ends are very, I get it. But listen to the tight ends they've played. Darren Waller, Austin Hooper, Travis Kelce, Evan Engram, Zach Ertz, TJ Hockenson, Jason Witten, Jimmy Graham. They have not had pushover matchups, and they have allowed the fewest fantasy points per target to tight end. And Noah Fant, by the way, he has seen 5 or less targets in 8 of 9 games, so it's not like he's a target hog. No.
Well, he has been since Sanders was traded. That's my point.
But he's not. But still, again, 1 game over 5 targets? Ew.
I mean, that's the tight end position, man. Rounding out my top 12, I've, of course, got Gerald Everett. Eric Ebron's in there. You mentioned O.J. Howard and then Jack Doyle as well. It's ugly, guys.
It's gross. I mean, yeah, I have Jared Cook as a top 6 tight end. That's going to end poorly, by the way.
Yeah, I was with you, though. That was good logic, though. It all looked like it would make sense. And then Jared Cook just didn't happen. And then, of course, Breeze getting hurt didn't help, but... Shocking. I thought that was another one of these guys. Look, in the back end, maybe you draft him as like the 10th tight end or 8th tight end or whatever. You kind of luck out. He has a decent season. Nope. Not at all.
Yeah, well, that was the Drew Brees thing, right? I mean, and Drew Brees is back now. So I agree. I've got Jared Cook as my tight end number 5 this week. A lot of people are going to do the Tyler Eifert game. I would encourage you guys to resist. I don't think that one's going to be a very good idea. All right, let's close out the show with DST. And as I mentioned on the Waiver Wire show yesterday, the streamers, Joe, this week are just horrible defenses. But the reason that they're streamers is because they play horrible offenses. There's not a single like mediocre defense who's playing a horrible offense. It's all like Washington, Miami, the Jets. So who are we going with outside of the usuals? You know, Minnesota, the Rams against Chicago, Buffalo against Miami, San Francisco, Pittsburgh.
You know, there's a part of me that's, you know, slightly intrigued. I mean, I don't know. I think Oakland is a streaming defense you can pick up this week. The Bengals turn the ball over a ton. I think that's one that makes a ton of sense. Again, the personnel doesn't jump out at you, but they're playing good football right now, and they're feeling it. It's at home. I think you take that. And I think if Jacoby Brissett is not healthy, and he's not, even if he plays, what are the chances he comes out? And then Hoyer goes back in, and all of a sudden, if Jacksonville got dropped and they're out there, that's another defense I would take a look at this week, potentially.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that one at all. Tags, I really like Chicago against the Los Angeles Rams just because Jared Goff has been so bad for now a calendar year.
Yeah, are the Bears available? If they're available, hell yeah, I'm streaming them.
Well, I'm not saying for a streamer. I'm saying ECR 11. I think they're a start this week.
Not only has Jared Goff been bad, but like that offensive line's been terrible, and now they're going to be down 2 starting offensive linemen for this game against the Bears. So even it's a home game for the Rams, but is it really a home game?
Right. Yep. Yeah. Los Angeles is not a very good football town. Sorry to everyone in Los Angeles, but
I mean, well, show up to your teams. We won't say that if you show up to your team's like stadium.
Right. Yep. New Orleans at Tampa Bay is a great play. New England, of course, doesn't matter who they play. Dallas, because they likely are not getting Matt Stafford this week. They're in play. So, Tags, you going with the New York Jets as a streamer? Oakland? Or are you going all the way down to Washington?
I have Washington higher than all of them. I have Washington.
ECR 17, just to be fair. But I agree. I've got them in my top 12.
Their ECR is 17?
Yeah.
I don't know why. Like, do people really believe in Sam Darnold?
I don't understand.
I think that's more the opposite. I think they're more concerned with Haskins not being able to move the chains. And if so, even a, you know, any good defense that's on the field too much eventually starts to wear. I think that's probably the perspective, just trying to make the counter argument to that.
Yeah, I mean,
12 sacks in the last 4 games, and now they get this Jets offensive line. They haven't given up, let's see, they've given up less than 80 points in those 4 games, too.
Yeah, like I said, I think that game's going to be, like, brutal. Like, nobody wants to watch it.
Well, that game and the Bears face the Rams is going to be just disgusting. The quarterback play in that game. Actually, to Trubisky's credit, he was a lot better last week.
Well, it's still going to be ugly. That game has an over-under. The Bears game of 41, I would be pressed to take the under in that game.
All right, guys, let's end the show with a bold prediction each. Joe, since I didn't give you a warning that we were going to do this, I'll let you go last. Tags, you're on the spot. Give us a bold prediction, baby.
Oh, well, geez.
hey, you're on the show every week. You know how it ends.
Well, I have my ranking set as such. I don't know how...
We just started doing this last week.
I don't know how bold it is because I haven't looked at the ECR for it, but I have DJ Moore as a top 7 wide receiver this week. So I'm going to... My bold statement is that DJ Moore finishes a top 3 wide receiver play.
My bold prediction is Raheem Mostert finishes as a top 20 fantasy running back.
Interesting. I like that one. Let's see. Bold prediction for me. Let's go with, let's have a little fun here. Let's have Sam Darnold go for a 300-yard game just to piss off Tags.
It is so possible. It is entirely possible. I love it, Joe. That's a lot of fun. All right, guys, that's all for today's show. Joe, as always, it's a pleasure having you on. Thank you for taking the time.
It's like a second home. Always happy to talk fantasy football with you guys.
And thanks for sharing your embarrassing story, too. That was rough, man.
That's right. Now everyone knows a little bit more about my life. There you go. There you go. There you have it.
Hey, guys, give Joe a follow on Twitter. Joe, what is your handle on Twitter?
Handle's at JoePizzaPia17. That's where you can find me.
All right, and I want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Grammarly. If you go to grammarly.com/fantasypros, it's going to get you 20% off your Grammarly premium account. And also FanDuel. If you sign up at FanDuel.com/fantasypros or download the FanDuel app, you're going to get $5 in total bonus just by making your first deposit and getting started. And by the way, don't forget to check out that trade assistant at FantasyPros.com/myplaybook. And remember, it's only for premium users, but it's really going to help you get the answers you want right away. For Joe Pizzapia and Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust Resistant.